The Diary of Anne Frank is assigned reading in classrooms across many parts of the world, including the U.S., as students learn about how one girl and her family tried to hide from the Nazis in Amsterdam. Its power and inspiration have extended through the decades, and many people believe its messages are even more relevant now than they have been in years. Arizona Theater Company is currently presenting a production of Anne Frank at the Herberger Theater Center in downtown Phoenix, which runs through June 2nd. I recently spoke with the play's director, David Ira Goldstein, no relation, and one of the stars, Nama Potok, who portrays Anne's mother, Edith Frank. Potok has an especially personal connection to the subject matter, as more than 100 of her father's relatives were killed in the Holocaust. I started the conversation by asking David about whether interest in his own heritage led him to direct The Diary of Anne Frank one season after he directed Fiddler on the Roof.
It's an interesting question, Steve, because, I was the artistic director for 25 years, and I personally really feel theater is a place to walk in other people's shoes and to learn about other things. But I found these last few years that I really wanted to connect with my heritage, and I kind of conceived it in an odd way. This will sound odd, as a trilogy. Fiddler on the Roof is very reflective of my background. All of my grandparents came out of Russia and the pogroms. And then I thought of The Diary of Anne Frank, which is a play I had always wanted to do, as sort of the next chapter of the Jewish diaspora into Europe, and a play that concerned that and allowed me to explore that. And then there's a third play. I'd like to do a play about the founding of the State of Israel and the sort of tracking the diaspora through. And people aren't going to relate in their minds Diary of Anne Frank and Fiddler on the Roof that directly, but it really has allowed me to explore that history in a very direct way and connect it to my art.
Nama, with your personal history, tell me a little bit about your feelings in performing in Diary of Anne Frank and how that harkens back to a personal history. And I wonder, as an actress, how does that affect how you take a role? Because I'm sure you've played parts that had no connection to your background at all. What is it like to have something that strikes you in a more personal way?
Well, this role and also the experience of leading the prologues has been sort of a seminal magnetizing of so many different factors and aspects of my life in a way that hasn't really happened in my art. This was an experience where my whole being on so many levels in fact informed this part and this role. When I found out that I got the role, my first response was elation, and then not long after that it was, oh, no, I can't do this. Mm. And to me, at this point in my life, I know myself well enough to know that that fear, that panic or terror is this wonderful waking up moment of this is exactly what you need to be doing at this point in your life.
When it comes to teaching people about the Holocaust, how important is Anne Frank? How important is The Diary of Anne Frank, the actual book, this play, in terms of making it accessible, understandable, personal for a lot of people?
It's key. It almost has the same importance as the liturgy. In my mind, I often say that we always have to be reminded of this story. I don't know if you saw the, about a month ago, a poll came out that was just absolutely alarming, talking about how most millennials think less than 2 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust. And that a shockingly small number of people even know what Auschwitz is. And I just think we have to go back to this story again and again and again, because it's so seminal in our understanding of the Holocaust, because it's so personal to everybody. I quoted this a lot to the cast. We're not sure, but we think Joseph Stalin said this: the death of a million is a statistic. The death of a single person is a tragedy. And I think that's so true. The numbers that died in the Holocaust in Europe or in Russia that Stalin killed, they're unimaginable. We can't get our minds around them. And that's why there are just some really seminal pieces of literature. I think of Elie Wiesel's Night as being another one that I think we have to go back to again and again and again, because everybody who can read a book has been 13 years old or is nearly 13 years old and can somehow relate to this story of this 13-year-old girl and what she went through.
We really need to understand that no one is safe when this hatred, this sort of lean on hatred, this attitude of having an inalienable right to hate, mm-hmm. Becomes so pervasive, and that people's voices, as we see happening in our own country, in Poland right now, there's a law that's been passed that it's illegal to mention the Holocaust. So when we can...
The Polish, you can't refer to it as the Polish Holocaust. Mm-hmm. That was a German thing, mm-hmm. even though 3 million of the 6 million died in Poland, because that's where Auschwitz was.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. We have to understand that the moment we begin to allow voices to be silenced, then, to Elie Wiesel's point, that those of us who stand by, the bystanders, are playing a role that's active. So I ask myself, what am I doing now, today? I certainly know that I'm doing it in this work and in this play, and it's meaningful to me on so many levels. What else can I be doing when I see and hear the horrors that are happening around the world?
It has such a relevance internationally and locally. I mean, the government that was just elected in Hungary, or what's going on in Myanmar, or, you know, that there's a Holocaust denier running for the House of Representatives in Illinois. It's a worldwide rush towards authoritarianism, I feel. And so a reminder is so important now. I picked this play pre-Charlottesville, but, you know, we're now post-Charlottesville. And you can't help but see this play and walk out and think of those things.
What sort of themes run through this play that will force people to think about these things in a way? One would feel horrible for the plight of this family and this young girl, but beyond that, what can people, when they leave the theater, what should they be taking with them?
You know, we live our lives and we forget. I mean, we just do, and we have to constantly be reminded. And you know, when someone buys an ad on TV for whatever product it is, they don't just run it once. They run it hundreds of times, because if you really want people to get a message, you have to be on that message all the time.
And I also think that it's terribly important for us to remember that extremism can show up anywhere. You know, a lot of the studying that I did, I was always looking to see what the connections were between different cultures and religions and traditions, and then how each tradition or religion changed and altered some very basic fundamental connections mm-hmm. to adapt to their specific needs or faiths. And extremism and violence can show up anywhere. And I think that when we tell this story in a very specific manner, because that's how we connect, it's actually by revealing the things that might be or that are discomforting or difficult to sit with, that we don't quite want to lean into or fully embrace in ourselves. How do we share that? How do we make peace with it? How do we make space for it? And then how do we share that with the world in a way that is effective for ourselves and for others? That's what allows us to connect. That's our humanity. And I think that the more we do that, the more we have a chance of being able to heal a great deal of pain and rage that exists right now.
Nama Potok and David Ira Goldstein, we've been talking about Arizona Theater Company's production of The Diary of Anne Frank, which is going on at the Herberger Theater Center in downtown Phoenix. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.